Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
Alrighty, and welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design, starring Mr. Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner, is in the house. Good morning, sir.
You bet. Check, 1, 2, great.
Check.
Thanks, Ron. Great to be here. Thank you. On Thursday morning, February 21. And we're with Shea Pataja, our CXO, Chief
Hello.
Experience Officer. We have so much to talk about this mm-hmm. morning. We're talking about hiring a CPA and or financial advisor, how to do this, questions you might want to think about asking. Why is this important? Because tax. The tax man cometh. And I know, it's crazy expensive still, but it's certainly down in terms of overall percentage. Now, there's been some news that's been rather
there's been some bad press about the tax.
Deleatory, yes. We'll just say, about the tax package. Well, why is that? Because the amount of withholding was a bit too conservative, causing some people to be surprised in tax season this year.
I mean, conservative,
but they're having
in 2017?
To pay some money back in 18. The withholdings, because of the new tax package, perhaps went down a bit too much, so people weren't having enough withheld from their paychecks.
Ew.
Even though the overall package meant about a 3% savings in overall tax. So given earnings, let's say at $50,000, saving approximately $1,500 or so in real tax.
There's been some irresponsibility in the reporting of it based on early refunds. They've said, well, people haven't done that well because their refunds are not as large as they were last year. And like you said, that's not how you judge a tax benefit.
Yeah.
They've had more in their pocket every week as a result, right?
Exactly. So I would call it stupid reporting,
but
frankly.
Some people count on that as a savings program. So mm-hmm. every year they know they're going to get $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 back, and this year they're getting $500 or $1,000 or whatever.
Yeah. But they certainly add a lot more on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And that's been told in the economy in terms of the driving economic growth. And the numbers look incredible. The number of people who are working now as a percentage of the populace, I don't think we've ever been this low in terms of unemployment. So the stats are there. The stock market basically at a low of about 22,000 on 12/24, approaching now 26,000. So a significant increase in terms of real dollars in the market, showing a lot of things about that stock market, oversold on the negative, occurring again on December 24th, Christmas Eve of 18. The turnaround has been truly dramatic. It's been measurable, significant in a number of ways, and encouraging from an economic standpoint as well. Now, some would say it's probably been bid up a little too fast and too hurriedly and causing some to be uncomfortable, understandably, because that turnaround has been so. If you look at that picture of the Dow and or the S&P 500, it was almost a waterfall on the way down and a turnaround equally as dramatic. So huge in terms of volume and real percentages on the way back up. Just thinking about that, we're almost between 15% and 20% back from that standpoint. The numbers and stats that we look at, which we talked about a couple, 3 weeks ago, were very encouraging. It's nice to be right once in a while. But I would say always to urge caution. Why is this such a big thing? Because a lot of people in these United States have their retirements or a portion thereof invested through mutual funds and or individual stocks that participate directly in that market. What is a stock? A stock is a representation of ownership within a company. And so you participate in that company's success by investing indirectly in the stock that company issues. So that participation allows you to participate as an owner would, because you are an owner by owning shares within that company. It's an incredible concept.
And that's showbiz, kids.
That is showbiz. Big
also,
time.
I want to remind everybody, we had John Sluice on. He's a CPA this yes. fall. So he explained the new tax plan in great detail. And that show is on our website. It's on iTunes. It says guest CPA, John Sluice. That's how you would find it.
Yes.
So in your spare time, while you're doing your taxes and you're trying to remind yourself why you're doing your taxes, you could think of it as like a 20-minute pep talk.
In terms of the tax return itself, it's certainly been simplified. Normally, what had been 73, 74 blanks to fill in now has gone out to about a third of that at about 24, 25
That's
lines
right. yeah,
in,
I
tax,
so.
In tax realm. So certainly different. And again, thank you, Shay, for that point. If you're wanting more information about how that works, that was a really good interview with John. And then the next week, too, we intend to have a class here on WTCM talking about how the middle class.
Tax breaks for the middle
tax
class.
Tax breaks for the middle class next week. So how this works. IRAs, possibly even not tax deductions, but tax credits might occur for those who are investing in IRAs and or Roth IRAs. Can you imagine getting a tax credit? Had a conversation for funding such a thing. Conversation with a couple of days ago. Two people a couple of days ago. And we were talking about the benefits of the HSA versus the IRA and the Roth.
The health savings account.
The health savings account. And the health savings account trumps them all in terms of tax savings.
Really?
Contributions to an HSA, yes, are tax deductible, and if used on the way out for a lot of different available expenses related to health care costs, are tax-free. There is no other saving plan like the HSA because it's deductible going in, tax-free going out.
Hmm.
The Roth doesn't match that, neither does the IRA.
So what was the context of that conversation?
The context was that this particular gentleman and the couple had access to an HSA program.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be making recommendations to him about that and other things too, and his wife, to the benefits of that, just to reiterate it to them. But in thinking about funding that, the huge benefits that go along with that for those who have an HSA.
Can you say how far out they were from retirement? Are they in the 5 to 10 year range? Because I feel like that matters when you give
recall. I think it was
recall.
About 10 years.
Okay,
10 years, 8 to 10 years.
Because what's the new number? The new number is that on average people spend $260,000 in health expenses when in retirement per couple.
Yes, it's going to depend on their health, their individual health. But it's just, it's incredible. And why do we talk about this on a weekly basis, you may say? Why? Because it's a third of our lives. We're living so much longer. You know, just looking at Ron, the picture of health, the picture of vim and verve. As Laura would
You're looking
attest.
Good, Ron. You look good.
You're looking good there, man. So the life expectancy we're seeing has continued to increase. And thinking about living that life, that next chapter, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's not, you know, it's not about, well, do I have enough allocated to the stock market? While that is important, it's about the values things that we're trying to think about. What do we hope to accomplish? That's a lot of what our conversations are about. It's how do we make these things that we have or are available to us to get us to that point, but what is it that we're trying to achieve in terms of being able to bother our grandchildren more than we might be able to, or to go out west, or frankly, for the self-same couple to have more freedom, to have more time to get maple syrup out of their trees that are next to their house. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone has a different view and opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the gentleman talked to yesterday had just gotten back from Tahiti. Almost laughed out loud. I thought, you know, I've never gotten a picture of Bora Bora up on the screen. And so we did that and looked at that together. And he said, yes, it was right there. So
wow.
Everyone has a different view and a different opinion. But it's amazing the conversations and how, from my standpoint, selfishly, it's really fun to hear.
You've got to sort through all the technicalities, like what we're going to talk about today. So if you want to get there, maybe you should consider having a financial advisor and a CPA, and we're going to help you figure out
getting back
today.
To that subject. It's think about the end goal first, and then the process of having to work through the details is much easier. My point is that. So thinking about, well, should I do a Roth conversion? It may be a laydown given your tax bracket these days, and it's because it's so low. But it's not a laydown in terms of time frame. Do I have 8 to 10 years? Do I have the money outside of that account to pay the tax? Do I anticipate that my tax bracket will be the same or higher in the future? Those are the three things you want to think about with a Roth conversion. So having those conversations with someone who knows about this stuff, that's where we benefit people coming in to talk about this. It's to help them get the goal of what they want to achieve. It's also helping them put the pieces in place to help them hopefully achieve that much better than they could on their own, absolutely, to exponentially move them in that direction. That's what we're trying to help people to do. So that's the fun stuff. 10 questions to ask your financial advisor. Let's hit a couple before the break. Do we have a couple minutes here, Ron? Excellent. So, number one, I know this area requires specialized knowledge in IRA distribution planning. Do you have expertise in this area? And how would I know that? These are great questions. So obviously you may not be comfortable asking all these questions to a financial advisor, but asking two or three.
Just pretend.
Just pretend. I know this area requires specialized knowledge in IRA distribution planning. Do you have expertise in this area? Tell me about how that might work and why I would want to know that.
Also, these questions have evolved because I've been with you for a while now, and they used to be a lot more simple, like, how long have you been in the business? But it's cool that they're making them more specific to what you need to know. They've evolved over time, so it's helpful to have these, and we can send these questions to you if you just email me, shea@proutfinancialdesign.com.
Here's one way that it matters. If you've named a contingent beneficiary on an IRA, let's say it's your children. There are two of them, 50-50 beneficiaries. Something's happened. Let's say you're married. There are two of you. The two children are contingent beneficiaries. If you've named them and they transfer those accounts when something happens to you both have passed away, they can then take those distributions based on their life expectancy, which theoretically would be perhaps 2.5% and 3% If 2.5% to 3%, why does it matter? They have full control. They can take less and pay less tax for their lives at that point. So they have to take less. Obviously, they could take more because it's a beneficiary IRA. There's no penalty, but they elect how much they want to take after any minimums they have to take. Other side of that coin, you've named your spouse in this example as a primary beneficiary, but have not named a contingent. You both pass away. Well, they're still going to get it. The two children. All right. What's the catch? The catch is this: if you haven't named them as beneficiary, they then have to take the distribution based on your own life expectancy, and it's a different table that's used. In many cases, they're going to have to take 8 to 10% per year because you didn't name them as beneficiary.
So you need an advisor, going back to the questions, you need an advisor that understands all the beneficiary complications. Like it's
the implications of the beneficiaries. Okay. Now, why would somebody leave that off? Well, they haven't been able to make that decision yet. There may be a lot of different reasons why it may not be possible, but also understanding the consequence of that. Can this advisor help you with that eventuality and thinking about how could that work? So that's one reason to speak with a financial advisor on this. Great number two, let's hit beyond that. What books have you read on the topic? Books? Look at the books. If they crack when you open them, maybe it's time to run away. Yeah.
What books have you read?
Yes, what books have you read?
Nothing, I Google it.
What would you answer?
I would answer the most recent book I'm reading is about George Washington, haha. But
About the conspiracy to kill him?
A different one. Actually, it's just brand new. But Natalie Choate's book on all the tax implications, of the Non-Simplification Act. And here's...
You could ask your prospective CPA or financial advisor, do you know Ed Slott?
That's a great question to ask.
Both of our advisors
do. And can you pull up
do.
The yep. life expectancy tables on your screen to counsel me when I need it? The answer for that for us is absolutely yes. Number four, how do you stay current on key IRA tax laws? What services or resources do you rely on to stay up to date? And can you show me a sample? I was thinking about this question. I was thinking, well, you know, I could bring out about 8 books of all the ways we, and, you know, they're all dog-eared and all the rest in trying to keep up with this stuff because it is a try. So another good question along with that is, who do you turn to when you have questions in IRA distribution planning?
Uh-huh.
No one can know it all. So that's where, in many cases, we make a phone call if it gets really tough.
That's why we have Ed Slott.
That's why we have Ed mm-hmm. Slott. So we can talk to the attorneys there who specialize in this, and or as well as we talked about having Ed on here in the next few months.
Be great.
We're going to shoot for that one too, because once in a while we encounter a situation that we have not seen before. And it's critical that we might get this all.
Does Ed have clients like you, or does he just specialize in working with financial planners, or is he just a consultant of or what's?
Well, he is. He owns his own CPA firm.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, he consults with financial planners like myself from around the nation. And
select financial planners, right?
Yeah. They have to make quite a commitment to be a part of it. It's twice per year that we attend. And we have to take update tests on that. And those tests are not simple. In fact, I used to get one or two wrong, those trick questions, you know. Anyway, yes.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Can you show me the IRS life expectancy tables? Now, they're probably going to look at you cross-eyed when you say that. But why? Why would you want to know that? Well, then, so you can help me determine what my distribution is going to be. Give me some idea. Some kind of an idea what I'm looking at. And we've talked about this before. You know, if a spouse is more than 10 years younger than you, then your distribution is necessarily less than it would have been otherwise. If you inherit an IRA, you're 75 years old from a non-spouse, from an uncle, brother, whatever it might be, your distribution is necessarily going to be that much greater. It's going to be a lot greater than it would otherwise from your own IRA. Just knowing that you can't commingle those funds together with your other IRAs and then blow up all the tax consequences, the tax benefits of having that account, that's just one reason to know these things. Because it matters when it really matters, and the dollar amounts only continue to increase on these accounts. Number seven, I'm kind of just skipping back and forth over these. How would you keep track of my IRA beneficiary form? We have all the forms in our own computer system, as well as copies in our files as well, and so do the firms that we work with. When should I update my beneficiary form, and what are the key events that would trigger a need for a review? Change in marriage, a death, a birth, all those kinds of things can be some reasons to change those forms.
A fight.
Yes.
Ooh.
Here's probably the best question in all of all. Do you know what will happen to my IRA after I die? How will you make sure that my beneficiary will get the stretch IRA? How will you make certain that my beneficiary gets the stretch IRA?
Good question.
And if there was a mistake made, are there ways to fix it? And how would you do that? Hello.
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 That's the big stuff, because sometimes things don't work out quite the way that you wanted to. There is no perfection. We get that. You know, life happens. If that's the case, how would you advise? Here's a good one from me. Are you comfortable as an advisor talking to my attorney about this? Sorry. The venom comes out because it's important. It's not meant to be negative, but man, when we're talking about these kinds of things, it's not always fun, obviously. It can be very difficult, but how do you work through this in terms of getting to go with the attorney after something's happened so that you as an advisor can help possibly the attorney too? What information can you give to the attorney, perhaps, that would help the attorney know, or the lawyer? How do we get to that point? Because sometimes you get to the end of the attorney's knowledge, and sometimes you get to the end of the financial advisor's knowledge. So are they willing to work together with other professionals? Maybe that's the better question, to get to that point where it's in your best interest. And then you can actually make then an informed decision about how to get this done.
Is there a question in there? Who calculates my RMDs and reminds me?
No.
That would be a good one.
It should be, because we do that for all of our clients on a yearly basis.
That's just a steep
over 300 penalty. Over 300 required minimum distributions we process on a yearly basis for clients.
Thank you, Shelly.
For over 70 and a half. Yes, Shelly does that for us.
At our office. She's awesome.
You bet. So we have time for a more or a break right now?
Keep going.
A
couple more.
Go,
there.
Go, go.
Go, 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 go.
Questions to ask when hiring a CPA. We didn't get to all 10 on the asking the financial advisor. By the way, if you want a copy of this,
Shay, S-H-E-A, at proutfinancialdesign.com.
We can easily send you a copy of this so that you can help arm yourself and listen to these questions. Be a listener. And is your advisor a listener, too? Critical questions to ask when hiring a CPA. Question number one, is timely service delivered? Accounting information can get out of date quickly. A proficient CPA makes it a habit to get back to clients as quickly as possible, of course. Another question that our own point that our own CPA brought up, he said, is your CPA willing to say no if they sense that it's not a fit for you and for them to work together? Are they willing to say no? Doesn't make sense. That may be one of the better points you want to get into. Question number two, do the same people always service your account? Ideally, the same person should work with you, not whoever is available at the time. They get to know you and your situation. You know, even if you're working with other people within the office, is there someone that they use as a backstop to check that information? How do we do that at Prout? Well, we have meetings on a daily basis reviewing what we talked about with the client, what the situation was, so that all the staff, as much as possible, is on the same page. It's critical. Three, what services beyond the usual reporting and number crunching are offered? And listen, you might be surprised. A CPA needs to be more than a data entry clerk. It's their duty as an advisor to make sure the information they receive makes sense. And then I like the open-ended questions. What would you do differently if this were your situation? What specific tax information could you help me with that would save me money? Right?
Right.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at ProutFinancialDesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.